Henry Morgan, star of the new motion picture So This Is New York, meets critics Russell Maloney and Merle Miller on The Author Meets the Critics. And now meet the man who keeps the peace on these programs, your regular chairman, John K. M. McCaffrey.
Good afternoon, everyone. Anything can happen on The Author Meets the Critics, and this afternoon it does. I mean, of course, Henry Morgan, who everyone knows is one of radio's great comedians. What you may not know is that Henry Morgan is the star of a new motion picture released by United Artists and called So This Is New York. Since Mr. Morgan has done everything else in radio, today he meets his critics, and here he is, first to tell us the story of his picture in his own fashion, Mr. Henry Morgan.
Thank you very much. Beg your pardon. I have a bad throat. I haven't been employed in radio for so long that there's nothing left down here. What am I supposed to do, Mr. McCartan?
Morgan. Oh, yes, Morgan. Far be it from me, Mr. Morgan, to tell you what you're supposed to do. Would you like to comment on your picture? I could understand your reluctance, but...
I'm not terribly reluctant. I saw the picture a couple of times, and I feel all right, in a way. A lot of people assure me I won't have to make another one. It's a great relief. It isn't too bad. Do you know what it's about, or don't you care?
Well, I'd like to. I think the radio audience would like to find out.
Oh, well, there's a fascinating picture of which I own 5% of the producer's profit. That means that if enough people go to see the picture, United Artists takes about 90% of whatever happens. And then Enterprise gets 90%, and then the people who actually made the picture get 90%. And I am told I don't get anything. So I really don't care whether you go see it or not. I got paid, see. That's the size of it. I worked on salary. Aside from that, the story is... I don't remember what the story was. We made it... It was back in November, you know, last year. I know that there's another fella in it, and a girl, two girls, and they have some kind of trouble, and they get out of it, and they get in some other kind of trouble, and after a while, a newsreel comes on. Pretty good picture.
Well, Mr. Morgan, now I can only offer you your critics, and I must warn you that we've brought on our veterans. First, author, editor, and the man most hard to please on The Author Meets the Critics, Mr. Merle Miller.
Well, I'm a little embarrassed by all this because I listen... Well, I did listen. I can't anymore, unfortunately. I hope sponsors are listening. I did listen to Mr. Morgan on the radio. I think on the radio he is a very funny man. I now feel about the same way I feel when a friend who's an amateur actor produces. And after the show they say, "What did you think?" And you say, "Well, dear, you remembered your lines." Well, Mr. Morgan remembered his lines, unfortunately. I don't know how he'd be as a movie comedian because I have seen So This Is New York and it gave me no chance to judge. Technically, I think he's gone quite a step forward. He's been in a movie which had no director, no script writers, and heaven knows, no actors. Well, they tell me, as a matter of fact, that all comedians want someday to play tragedy. And in this comedy, So This Is New York, Mr. Morgan has succeeded in that lofty ambition. It is, well, it has the air of a Max Sennett comedy of the early 20s, only no bathing girls, only Mr. Morgan, who looks rather sad and as if he wanted to be someplace else, and this, I assure you, is a feeling shared by every member of the audience. As a matter of fact, the only criticism I have of So This Is New York is that it didn't make me laugh, period.
Well, another man very difficult to please on this program rises in your defense, Mr. Morgan, and here he is, the well-known lecturer and critic, Mr. Russell Maloney.
Well, I didn't think Mr. Miller had it in him. I think that's a swell thing to say about Mr. Morgan, my goodness. The things that Morgan does, whether over the radio or in movies, or if it's knitting a sweater or growing a batch of corn out in the garden instead of over the radio, it's he does it not for these people that Mr. Hooper counts, who are just people who breathe and can turn the radio on and off. It's for people who have, in addition to a statistical status that Hooper can take into account have an IQ. Morgan assumes that your IQ is perhaps average or maybe a couple of points above. Of course, he is an acquired taste. He's a writer's writer, a comedian's comedian. I know that Ring Lardner would have liked Morgan. Of course, as Mr. McCaffrey pointed out, Morgan wouldn't have liked Lardner. He doesn't like anybody. It's his chief charm. When he went out to Hollywood, of course, being a 100% maladjusted guy, he made a maladjusted movie. And into this movie, he put everything that by Hollywood standards should not be in the movie in, and left out everything that by Hollywood standards should be left out. And you'll just have to take my word for it that the result is a movie with the same kind of crotchety charm that Morgan is in the process of exuding now.
Well, now
the defense rests.
Now that Mr. Maloney has wrapped Mr. Morgan up in an old plaid shawl and given him a cane, Mr. Morgan is now leaving the studio. He's frightened. He claims he's frightened. We've drawn him back here now, and he's
who are these people?
Well, we dig them up, Mr. Morgan, but Mr. Morgan isn't supposed to say anything for a while Mr. Miller and Mr. Maloney have at each other. Would you like to make any comment on the Great Expectations, Morgan, which Mr. Maloney presented to
us? Well, I have seldom heard such a crotchety defense of a film. This was the reluctant dragon named Maloney who said that Mr. Morgan produces for people with a high IQ. I agree. On the radio, he usually does. But in the movies, he was apparently trying to produce a movie that would, I agree, be very popular in a home for backward children. I don't know whether they thought of booking that particular circuit or not. As a matter of fact, what he did was take a very funny novel, short novel, by Mr. Ring Lardner, who was a very funny man, called The Big Town. He left out most of the... I'm not blaming Mr. Morgan. He was working for a living. I think for once he got overpaid. This very seldom happens to him. I think usually he's underpaid. But all of the good lines of The Big Town by Mr. Ring Lardner, for the most part, were left out. There were a couple of moments.
Well,
but
matter.
In an hour and a half movie, I got to have more than a couple of moments. That scene at the racetrack in which there are three, well, rather disreputable-looking people there who were surrounding the man with the racehorses, and they're introduced to the audience. It's a very subtle thing. I don't think Russell caught it. It's a very subtle thing. They're introduced as Mr. Hooper, Mr. Crosley, and Mr. Etc. Well, that's a funny line. Maybe not everybody appreciated it. I liked it. I liked the scene where the family first comes to New York, and they've come from South Bend, Indiana. Heaven forbid. And they meet their first New York taxi driver, and he talks the way all New York taxi drivers
do. Way to build up a rating in South Bend, Indiana. Go ahead, Merle.
We're doing our best, man.
And they meet this taxi driver, and he starts talking in the New York jargon of taxi drivers. Well, under the film, you see, if you ever saw a French film or an Italian film, they have little titles that tell you what the taxi driver is saying.
He's making this picture sound.
Just a minute, Mr. Morgan. I'm sorry.
Mr. Morgan,
temporarily mislaid your soundtrack.
Mr. Morgan, your defense is in my very capable hands, if you don't mind. I would like to go back to... I would like to go back to something that Miller said before he started to burble.
Mr. Miller to you.
And thank you, Merle. And it was this. He said there were only a few isolated moments. Well, of course, we know, take Morgan's last show. Take any movie, take anything that has to be done on a large commercial scale and has to pander to these Hooper rating people who have no IQs anyone can discover. You can only ask, you the intelligent person, you can only ask for isolated moments. If you have a few boffs and a few yawks and a couple of chuckles, that's all that you're entitled to get for your 50 cents admission, and that's what you will get from The Big Town. You have my personal money-back guarantee.
This is New York.
What Mr. Maloney is saying is that since most people won't like this movie, with that I agree, that therefore it's good. This is a strange kind of philosophy. As a matter of fact, quite seriously, I think the mistake Mr. Morgan made was to go into another field. On the radio, he is a guy who deals in satire, and he deals with it very funny. In the movie, he is dealing with very poor burlesque. He is hitting me on the head with a pratfall, and
well, you,
I wasn't amused.
You, Mr. Miller, write very good novels, talking about going into different mediums. Well, What happened to that?
I feel that at this time, the only thing we can do is to bring Mr. Morgan on. In case anyone is feeling overly sorry for Mr. Morgan, I would like to point out that he has appeared on The Author Meets the Critics once before. He was a critic, and he made the two ladies who were authors cry. So that if you're feeling sorry, here he is, Mr. Henry Morgan, to rise in his own defense. I see no tears in his eye.
Well, the only thing that impresses me with this shoddy performance is that usually you only hear this kind of talk when you're eavesdropping. You know, this should be said behind my back. Two grown men, either of whom I can lick, who can sit there and say this kind of thing to my face. I didn't make this pic. You know, people come back from Hollywood and they say, I made a picture. I didn't make it. I was working. Now, if it comes to the fact that I'm a poor actor, and you've already built me up now to the point where IQs are involved, you know, intelligence. I'm bright enough to know that I'm no actor.
Well, you may not be.
Wait a minute, Maloney. That's all right.
Well, I don't think now, the fact that you recognize you're not an actor requires any type of IQ.
And as a matter of...
Well, maybe that's why you recognized it so readily. However, what did I say wrong? Nothing. The story that Ring Lardner wrote, you know, was pretty funny, but in a pretty delicate little way. You know, it wasn't big, broad, whoop-de-doo funny. It's sitting down quietly reading funny. And when you try to do that on the screen, you're in danger of boring somebody. That is, almost anybody came into that 50-cent theater that Maloney knows about. We got to look for that later.
I saw it for nothing, felt I was a little overcharged.
Could I ask you a personal question?
Perhaps.
One cleaned up for radio?
Right ahead, clean it up for radio.
What? I'm in an awkward position. See, I don't want to defend this picture because it's immodest of me. But
and also impossible.
What am I doing? Here? These
awkward.
Men are getting along so fine.
No, I want to know.
Who's writing you boys' material? I'd like to meet them.
And incidentally, Russell, Mr. Maloney, people will think we spent all afternoon together, which is not true, but we met once or twice. You shouldn't be so harsh on people, I find. This business of I don't like anybody is pretty embarrassing. It might be a good trademark. Of course, it's not too true.
Do you like somebody?
Yes.
You do?
Yes. Merle Miller.
Well,
but, and others too scary to mention.
But could I ask you a personal question?
I'd rather
question.
You didn't, Merle. I didn't ask you mine yet.
Well,
and,
I know.
Since we're going to...
Why didn't you have Arnold Stang in this movie beyond that little two-minute bit? Very funny, but I wanted to see more of this man.
Well, that was
a funny man.
Well, one reason for that is... I can
that was Hollywood.
That. Arnold Stang is the guy who plays Gerard when I'm working in radio.
And plays it very well.
Yes, he does. I write it for him, but he plays it well. The reason that he wasn't in more of the picture is that he's pretty funny, you know. And it was sort of awkward. We had an awful lot of comics in that picture.
Well, there were two comedians in the picture, Rudy Vallee and Leo Garci.
And Hugh Herbert.
I thought both of them were very funny. There was another man who did a lot of talking.
Hugh Herbert was in.
Oh, that was Hugh Herbert, yes. Who was the star?
How's that?
I think Morgan...
The way Lardner wrote it, there was a dog was a star of the thing, yeah. But we couldn't make it...
As a matter of fact, I want to object to that, too. There's a very funny incident in the book. It takes, about 25 pages in the book about summer hotels on Long Island. Well, they could as well be in the Catskills. If anybody's ever been to a summer hotel, it's that type of humor. And also there's a little business about a dog, a Yapon, who has a very strange disease called the Blannies. Well, this is funny. In fact, I think it's the funniest part of the book. But
either way, you tell it, it's a riot. I don't think I ever left that stuff out.
In addition to that, MGM owns Lassie, so what are you going to do?
The question I was going to ask you when we were on the air is what pictures did you see this year that you liked, comedies?
Oh, many. I saw Foreign Affair.
Wait a minute.
Very funny.
You saw many that you liked?
Well,
that's
one,
all.
One,
the prosecution
one,
rests.
One.
Well, Mr. Hooper, thanks a lot, and we hope you can come again sometime.
There actually should be an audience.
As a matter of fact, it's a pretty good picture. It really was.
It's not bad.
I become less fond of it as every minute goes on.
No, that's me. Don't confuse me with a picture.
I think that conceivably another time Morgan may choose another type of vehicle. I think this is a good thing to do.
Morgan may choose. Who do you think I am, Gable? Morgan
I think
may
it's
choose.
A, I think
may
it's
choose
a matter
to do
of,
war and peace, but you're going to have to live an awful long time
as
before
a matter of
see
fact,
it.
You may not be Gable, but I think you're going to pick up a lot of the Wally Reed fans that have been floating around for some time.
They're all dead.
They're still floating around.
There are a few of them left, huh? No,
get
well,
Stanley Steamer to sponsor him.
No, in my book, Morgan just can't do any wrong. You may say it in this...
I get an idea of the kind of books this character writes. Maloney, I used to be very fond of you.
Well, and I of you,
don't
too.
Don't make it up even for the radio audience.
No.
Tell the truth, Maloney.
No, I'm getting a very serious
come
point.
Come on,
here.
The picture was pretty good, wasn't it?
It was a swell picture. I'm the guy that's saying it. You know, he's the guy that doesn't like it. No.
You can say that again.
Yeah,
say it again.
No,
in case anyone thinks I have a function on this program, I'd just like to point out I've abdicated it completely. This can just go on like this. There's no sense in trying to guide this. Just go on, gentlemen.
There isn't any sense. Look, we've lost all the audience anyway on the outside. The people in the studio can't get out. You know how they do that. If you want to sit around, we'll show you this picture. We got a... And you can swing chairs at each other.
Well, I want to add one very important point that nobody's made. And this is a costume picture. I believe about the only full-length picture that's been made with the costuming as one of the chief comedy values. And it's very effective, too. To see Morgan in the evening clothes of the early 1920s is an aesthetic experience, really. Don't you think so, Merle, about just that one point?
Well, yes, I think Morgan has a good figure.
And the women in those in the new look of
I don't like to say anything, and I know this isn't your fault, Mr. Morgan.
Just a minute, Mr. Miller, you don't like to say anything.
Well, I don't like to say anything about attractive ladies.
He doesn't like to say anything when he's not talking.
Where did you find those two actresses that were in the movie? I was puzzled. I'd never seen them before, and God willing, I never will see them again.
They were fine. They were fine.
Are they new to Hollywood? I mean,
do you really think they were as bad as I was?
Oh, I thought they were. Yes, that's the one thing I could say for you. You weren't quite as bad as they were.
One thing.
The line is very thin, however.
One thing that
thinner than you are.
Merle doesn't understand this one point.
Isn't this a remarkable? He introduced me as a guy who doesn't like people, and you listen to this Miller talk. Isn't that how I sound charming?
A misogynist.
Well, let's not be carried away, Mr. Morgan.
We've only got a short time left to make Morgan cry. Go
love
to it, Miller.
Right? The more I hear that you intellectuals don't like it, the surer I am that my 5% of the producer's profit's going to be enormous.
Well, I understand it's
I hope everybody else in the United States is stupid, and you're the only two smart guys.
I understand it's doing very well in South Bend, Indiana.
Next week,
East Lynn.
When were you thrown out of South Bend last?
Oh, quite recently. Could I bring up another rather serious point, as a matter of fact? That play at the end, that burlesque on the theater. That
I didn't write it. Lardner wrote it.
You were there commenting on it very unfunnily. Did you have any ideas about making that witty? I mean, you could have suggested something.
Would you like to discuss the word unfunnily?
Yes.
You can have an afternoon of that, too.
You've got to. Let me just make one point. You two guys are off way up in the air. You've got to come back to the point that there's a movie been made. It's been made in a certain style.
And it'll happen again, too, see?
Fine. It's stylized.
Well, not to me.
Stylized acting, stylized comedy. You've got to be in the groove. You've got to put yourself in the same frame of mind as the people who liked the story and made the picture. You
cannot
go.
If you forgive my saying so, we haven't mentioned the title in about 5 minutes.
So this is New York.
Thank you. Go on.
With Henry Morgan. Or is it Henry Morgan in So This Is New York?
Well, it was Henry Morgan in, but it's now So This Is New York with Henry Morgan.
But he still gets a 5%. That's the important thing.
That's only in the Saturday Review of Literature. But in the things that people read, it's Henry Morgan in.
This really is a personal question.
You know, I was scared for a moment. I thought you couldn't think of anything to say.
How did you get into this?
End of an era.
Did they offer you a lot of money?
Well, I'm going to tell you the truth.
Man to man, face to face.
Well, that's the American dream, isn't it? And also the French, German, and Italian, and anybody else. Let's get a little something to eat, is the way I understand it. Not to get too political.
I think a comedian...
However, in answer to your question... And I hate to do this by mere force of lung power, but there seems to be no other way.
Very valuable
the way I got...
Lesson in technique. I want you people to observe this.
The way I came to, as we say in Hollywood, make this picture is that I happen to be very talented. Now, wait a minute. In a peculiar way.
The latter part of the sentence I agree with.
Well, I've left you a space so you could separate it into the parts you understood.
Now,
see, we're both going to sound so mean. Everybody's going to hate both of us for no reason, because we're both terrible people, but why advertise? The picture, what was the question? Oh, how'd I come to make this thing? A fellow showed me the story, the fellow who made the picture, see? And he said, this looks like a good part for you. He said this by long-distance phone, which was quite a surprise, because anybody who's never seen me, you know, phones and says, let's make a picture, is suspect
character. Well, I assume when you say somebody called you about a picture that they'd never seen you.
Well,
is that called an assumption before the fact? Or
do you want to continue with your question, Mr. Morgan?
I'd like to go home, but I'll play the game here. Miller can't last forever. What weeks do you have other people here?
Well, we occasionally have a critic known as Father Kernan.
Oh, I know him. He's honest, though. I'd rather talk to Father Kernan. He's honest. Miller has a dishonest streak in him. You can see it. He's
in a false position.
Did somebody boo? Miller's in a false position. Yes, he's in the radio studio. Must be terribly awkward for the poor boy. However, Now, I'm lost.
Go ahead, you.
What am I defending here? Oh, how he came to make the picture. So I read the story, and I said, gee, that should make a good picture. You know how you do. And then I wrote it out in longhand, and paid a girl to write it up, you know, in picture style. Camera comes in, fella goes out, door opens, light goes off, and I visualized myself. If you... Suffer with me a minute. I visualized myself, and after a while I got over that, and I thought, well, after all, I've seen some pretty terrible things. You know how you sit home and you listen to the radio and you hear a woman sing, and you say, good Lord, where'd they get her? I can sing better than that. Well, I've seen pictures, you know, I say, good Lord, where'd they get that guy? I can act better than that.
That's what I said last Wednesday night when I saw the movie.
You see? And the next thing you know, you're going to be in a picture, and I'm going to be sitting where you're sitting, and you're going to be sitting where I'm sitting, but you'll get madder.
There's one thing you said that interested me.
Of course you're better looking.
You said that interested me.
But you're untalented.
You said lights.
And you have to learn not to talk so long, because in pictures you have to let other people talk.
this.
I had to learn. If I can learn, you can learn.
Morgan has the floor. It's all he has, but he has the floor.
Nicer than to let me on the Merle Miller hour.
Well, as a matter of fact, lights, you said. This was the one movie I've seen which I thought was filmed in the Monmouth Cave. I mean,
the oldest thing in radio.
You couldn't
just
see
a minute, Mr. Miller, where is this Monmouth Cave?
You know that Fred Allen made a living.
Isn't that cave, that big cave down in Iowa?
The Mammoth
Monmouth Cave,
microphone.
Yes.
Good afternoon, microphone. I'm glad to talk to you. I'm sorry to tell you. Fred Allen, this should be interesting, Merle, no kidding. This may help you in the future. Fred Allen, after having been a star in legitimate theater for many years, and then going into radio and, you know, doing all kinds of things, practically invented, as far as radio is concerned, insult comedy. But and he used to get wonderful laughs with it. He invented that thing, you know, being fed up with everybody saying, well, how swell you look, you know, you half-wit. And you know, he started that business of, I'll pull your scalp down until so forth. You know that, I'll be honest with you, you know you're not very good at it?
No.
Tell you what. I don't mean to be insulting.
Well, it's a slightly
higher level. If there's an overtone of insult, you'll have to forgive me. You'll have to force yourself to forgive me somehow.
Morgan, I can only say again, I like you on the radio. Not necessarily an author meets the critics, but
I like
radio
you on
general.
The sidewalk.
Mr. Maloney, you were drawing several breaths preparatory to speech.
Well, I've completely forgotten what I wanted to say. I plainly don't need to defend Mr. Morgan anymore. He's doing pretty well on his own.
Yeah, it's gotten on a personal basis now.
That's what we wanted all the time. Let's go on from there.
Well, I suppose it's time for our 5-minute plug for the title of the picture, So This Is New York. Oh, no, excuse me, Henry Morgan in So This Is New York.
Morgan in So This Is New York, which I enjoyed very much, and I enjoy very few things, let me tell you.
I want to tell you something. Even if you hate the picture, it's an experience.
It is.
Well, Mr. Morgan, would you like to make any comments on your experience in making this picture? Do you feel that this picture gave a full opportunity for the expression of your genius? For instance, such a question.
I approve your choice of definitive nouns. My genius... you think I'm embarrassed, huh?
No, Mr. Morgan, I don't. Shocking part of it.
Darn it, it's tough that I have to breathe in between these words. It lets people in here. No, I tell you, picture making is fun, of course, and you make money. What was the question?
Well, you phrased it. What question would you like, Mr. Morgan?
Why don't you ask me why nobody's asked me to make another picture?
All right. Why hasn't anybody asked you?
Three people have.
Who are they?
Al Wallace, Metro Goldwyn Samuel, whatever his name is, and the people I made the first one for.
Really?
What's Mr.
Morgan, do you want to consider that last statement just a little before
the people
you...
for whom I made the first one for?
Oh. See, do you believe that statement, Mr. Miller?
I believe it.
Mr. Maloney believes it.
Well, I think Hollywood is inhabited by, well, I won't say the word after. I forgot I was on the radio. Yes, I think probably somebody asked Mr. Morgan to make another picture. I have a couple...
And it wasn't the Thomas Committee either.
There are two things to do. One, you could take up a collection for Morgan, or two, you could find a sponsor for him to put him back on the radio where he's funny, where he's in his medium, where he does
where he's working.
Peculiar things. But don't send him back to Hollywood. Well, as a matter of fact, I understand he was in summer theater. Weren't you in a thing called The Man Who Came to Dinner?
Yes,
I think you'd probably be very funny in that.
I wasn't.
Well, you don't have to prove it to me. No argument.
You know, it's very poorly written.
Mr. Morgan, did you have anything to do with the writing of this thing we witnessed the other night?
No, I wrote one scene.
One scene? Which
one? Yeah,
it has
no lines in it. It was a... Well, it's, you know, wrote. I mean, I made up a thing. You remember there's a scene where... fellow takes my wife to look at an apartment.
Yeah.
And then he tries to make love to her, and she punches him in the jaw. A lot of action in this picture, wasn't there? And then later, I come in, punch him in the jaw. He falls. I look around and say, nice apartment. That was my joke.
That was yours. Yeah. And that's the only one that they gave you any opportunity to...
I changed some lines around, made them worse, but that's all.
That it wasn't only Morgan's only joke. It was the only joke in the movie.
Well, I think that Lardner's style...
You're getting
style...
to like me.
No, Lardner's style. Let's say this before we get off the air and really have our fight. Lardner's style and Morgan's style of delivery and acting jibe beautifully. It was hard to remember that this wasn't just Morgan ad-libbing. It's just the kind of thing he does on the air, and the visual aspect fit it in beautifully. I had a wonderful time, and I really did.
Well, as a matter of fact, if I have succeeded in keeping people away from this movie, I think Mr. Morgan may possibly be on the air again, and people will find him funny again. That's the only purpose I had this afternoon, to keep people away from the movie, because they'll love you just as I did before last Wednesday.
Mr. Morgan, are you going to accept any of these offers to do another movie? You've had three, you say.
Tell you the truth, it's hard for a boy to keep honest. All three stories were pretty bad, see? And as Merle will tell you, if you ever ask him, the kind of actor I am requires a very strong vehicle.
Yes, War and Peace.
Very strong picture. If the picture has the least weakness, and I'm in it, it'll show up.
Well, I think that at this point, all we can do is to tell you that I'm very sorry. The time is up for everybody. And here is Bob Sherry to tell you what lies ahead on The Author Meets the Critics.
Well, next week, we return to books. And it's a book that has aroused a storm of controversy ever since publication 2 years ago. It's been the subject of more magazine articles, debates, and arguments in the home than almost any book of this time. It is entitled Modern Woman, the Lost Sex, by Dr. Marina Farnham and Ferdinand Lundberg. We would also like to remind our listeners that 2 weeks from today, our guest author will be Cornelia Otis Skinner on her new book, Family Circle. And now back to John McCaffrey.
Before closing, I'd like to thank Henry Morgan for coming here today to discuss his new picture, So This Is New York, and to thank you, Russell Maloney, and you, Merle Miller, for joining us. This is John McCaffrey saying good afternoon for The Author Meets the Critics.
The Author Meets the Critics is produced by Martin Stone, directed by Arthur Austin. Bob Sherry speaking. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.